Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of The Fueling Station, where we talk about all the cool things, all the fun things, all the interesting things that happen in the world of retail fueling. I'm your host, Ed Kammer with OPW, along with my good friend,
Jonathan Stong with OPW.
And today we're going to talk about DEF. That's right, DEF, diesel exhaust fluid. Now, some of you may know what DEF is and some of you may not, but you know, DEF was introduced to our industry a little over 10 years ago, about 2010, when the EPA decided, hey man, these trucks are chugging out a lot of pollution through these diesel stacks on these big tractor trailers, anything with a large diesel engine. So, you know, the way technology evolves, and I don't claim to be a chemist, but one of the things that came up was the use of this diesel exhaust fluid. And basically the way it works is it's a liquid. It's like 32.5% urea and the rest 67.5 is ionized water. And the way it works is it's injected into the exhaust as it getting ready to leave the vehicle. And it basically strips the sulfur out of the exhaust. So it tries to keep the sulfur out of the air. You know, we've introduced low sulfur diesel as something to try and eliminate, pollution with diesel engines and DEF. So all of your large retail truck stops now, not only do they run diesel fuel, but they all also run DEF. But the problem with DEF, it's a completely different challenge because it acts completely different than gasoline. So you can't install it the same, you can't use the same components, you can't use the same things. So we're just gonna talk about DEF, some things that you have to do different, how things have changed, and the things in installing a proper DEF system. So with us today is a guest, Dan Boyle. He's the product manager for OPW Retail Fueling Underground. And Dan has just finished launching the industry's first complete engineered system from beginning to end on the piping side for DEF liquid and the dispensing and the containment and the pumping of DEF. So Dan, welcome to our podcast. I know we're excited to have you as a guest. You've got some great industry knowledge, specifically on underground products.
No, thanks for having me back. First of all, I like talking with you guys, and I like talking about petroleum, so this works out pretty well. But no, you're absolutely right. This was a pretty interesting one to try and wrap my hands around with DEF. There's a lot of things we can't use for gas and avgas and diesel. But when you start talking about urea-based liquids, you're talking about stuff that nobody has really had much luck with coming up with a end-to-end, this is what works well system, right? You can only pretty much use plastics. Ours of choice is HDPE. And then the only metal that you could use is stainless. Because that urea it gets into that carbon steel, and it doesn't stand a chance.
Sure. So all the components that we typically use with gasoline, we can't use with DEF.
Or even for alcohol-based fuels. Some of the stuff, we do a lot of plating to make carbon steels compatible, and none of those platings will work with this either. So it is a little bit difficult material-wise to come up with an offering that checks all the boxes to do what you need it to do.
So what makes DEF so challenging then from a material standpoint?
Well, like I said, there's only the handful of materials that you can. It's easier to use to list the ones that you can use instead of the ones you can't.
Correct. It's because it's water, so it can rust and corrode things.
And it freezes easier.
It freezes in cold temperatures.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me ask you this too. Keeping that same context, Ed, my understanding is that if you're using DEF with a non-compatible system, that the issue is that the fluid itself can become contaminated versus, any other kind of extreme concern for the environment. The fluid becomes contaminated, whether there's a coating, like you're saying, on a shear valve that's not properly, engineered.
And that's a great point, Jonathan. Not only will the liquid contaminate the product or the valve or the fitting, but the valve or the fitting, more importantly, would contaminate the DEF. And the way these truck engines are set up, they're pretty highly engineered systems where that DEF really has to be pure. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it really messes up the engine and it doesn't do what it's supposed to when it wants to strip the sulfur out of the diesel exhaust.
And that's most of the testing we do. It's not even how does it affect steel. We look at that the other way. and how much is getting back into the DEF, because that's how you know.
Now, and I know you said that he's been working on designing this full system, which I think the industry has been looking for, and I know that we want to promote. What was it about the previous way we conveyed this fluid? Something tells me we used to do these totes out by the dispensers.
Yep. Yeah.
And that was one way. Like they would come that way, or you get a little box with a hosel on it, you could pour it in your car.
Yep, they also did that way.
Okay. Why did we get to this progressive point where we decided to put a full infrastructure in these stations? Was it more?
Have you ever seen a patchwork quilt?
Twice.
That's every DEF. That's every DEF system that was ever put in until a few years ago.
Well, can we make a DEF quilt with like these OPW diamonds on it and call it a day?
I'd stay warm under that.
I think the answer to your question, Jonathan, is originally, you know, there were only a few trucks on the road that had DEF.
Okay.
So a big retail truck stop, a Loves, a Pilot, a TA, if I miss anybody, I'm sorry. But the number of vehicles was low, so they could have a tote on the island that could, you know, fill the 30 gallons or whatever. I forget the size of the tank of DEF on a big tractor trailer.
I think it's 12.
Is it only 12?
I think it's only 12 or 14 gallons. It's very, very small.
But what happened, you know, after 2010, every new vehicle now had DEF. So now... At a truck stop, probably over 90% of the trucks that pull in also require DEF. So the retailers had to move it into bigger tanks, put it underground, and offer it, you know, right next to the diesel dispenser, you know, usually as an add-on cabinet, so the truck driver could fill his diesel and his DEF at the same time.
Got it. So it's essentially reached that critical mass where they needed to.
Yep.
It couldn't handle it.
Yeah, my patchwork comment was, you know, once it started to catch in popularity and people needed to put these systems together, how are they doing it? It was like, well, I'll use your guys' as this, and I'll take this out of your product line that's made out of the right thing, and I'll compare it with this, and I'll combine it. You know, so people were putting systems together with whatever they could find that would do the job for kind of checking the singular box.
Yeah.
You know, so we have compatibility with this product line, so we'll use it. But we can only put it in this because it's the only thing that has a stainless so-and-so, you know, so that's how a lot of the system was done. So whenever we kind of started this, the idea was from the tank, the underground tank that it's in, all the way up until you pipe it up into that dispenser, you know, we want to have a complete product line that you know, makes sense.
Sure.
It's checking every same box that we're having to do from three or four other manufacturers and couple them together.
Yeah.
We want to do that. Easy.
Engineered system.
It's a complete integrated engineered system from one manufacturer versus, like you said, you know, when DEF first came out, it was the wild, wild west. I mean, they were using one pipe manufacturer for the primary pipe, another pipe manufacturer for the access or the chase pipe, someone else's entry fitting. They would run a heat trace through it to try and keep it from freezing. Then they'd pipe it up canopy columns and it transitioned to PVC pipe or, you know, a bunch of
foam
fiberglass pipe. And then there was no shear valves. So they didn't know what to do there. So it was crazy. It was just, like you said, a patchwork of products until now.
And if you're an end user, you know, that's not a short nightmare. You're dealing with that nightmare from the time you put it in until you finally get tired of it.
I think right there, people want to reduce the complexity for their stations, right? And they want to make sure that what's put in was not only put into the standards of that manufacturer, but is, you know, put in with a design basis that this is going to work fluidly for the duration of the station.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're engineering, you know, systems like that, I think that that sparks people's interest. I mean, I'd rather have something from one manufacturer, you know, for a full system.
So tell us, what's special about this new DEF underground system by OPW?
So, you know, we took a lot of the want that we were hearing. You know, that's one thing I feel we do pretty well is listen to the people who are putting it in every day and get their take on how we could make things better.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff we were hearing was that, you know, heat trace line was difficult to replace it if it ever went bad. You know, all of the containment areas are too small for us to get our hands in. You know, the first boxes that came out were an afterthought on the backside of a diesel dispenser. So people were trying to have to put it together themselves. So that, you know, we took those hard parts. We adapted, you know, we know a lot of stuff about pipe and shear valves and containment. We know a lot about that. So we wanted to take the expertise we knew, the stuff we were hearing from the field about this new thing that nobody wrapped their hands around yet, and really give that awesome product that met all of the needs. So, you know, we maximized the space, the open space to get in to install parts in these sumps. We use stainless covers and gaskets that'll you know, maintain throughout the years. should any DEF ever get on there, you know, it's not going to corrode your equipment. You know, we tried to take all of the hardest part and fix it. So we've got entry fittings that you can bring product pipe right along with your heat trace. And also we've done that in a way that if you need to rewrap the pipe later, we've given you a path to that. You know, it's a lot of the, right. Okay. And maintainability, you know, we wanted to really take what was given to us, because we have to operate within that dispenser footprint, and give whoever's installing it the easiest treatment they could possibly have.
So wait, tell me, there's a DEF system now that is completely repairable, testable, replaceable, and maintainable without having to cut concrete?
All look great.
Sounds to me like a loop system. Are you telling me this is a loop system for DEF, Dan?
If you want it to be, we've got it in both. No, that was, you know, we don't want to leave anybody out. So, you know, there's a lot of people that love it and they don't really want to buy anything else. So, of course, we're going to go ahead and lead with that. But then there's also some folks out there that either, you know, they haven't adapted that technology yet, or they may not have the means to do that. So we also have it in a standard system.
So why is DEF so difficult? It leaks. It's tougher to seal.
Right.
So when it does leak, it ends up corroding and
yeah. So once it gets out and it starts to oxidize, that's where you start to get the crystallization that people are familiar with. You know, I've thrown away a few pairs of jeans trying to get some of that stuff off. Yep.
Really.
And because it's 67% water, it freezes.
Right.
So if you're in a location that experiences cold weather, you have to do a couple different things. You know, one of the first ways, like you said, was to run a heat trace in it. Mm-hmm. But now let's talk about some of the new things that you can do with the piping system that prevents DEF from freezing.
Yeah, so the recirculation system's really caught on in the last couple of years, because actually when we started this project, it was you'd probably see more heat trace out there, because that's sort of more obvious.
Yeah.
You know, that's a heat trace line. It's got a thermostat in there and you're running.
So heat trace, let's explain what a heat trace is.
Right. So you have your product pipe and the product within it, and it's going to fluctuate to temperature. So DEF can't get below a certain temperature, so you want to wrap it with this, what we call heat trace,
right,
that sends a low voltage signal down through the wire to generate a certain amount of heat. And that is tied to a thermostat, so you can actually set that temperature. So, you know,
so it's like a thin tape with a heating element in it, and you run it, you wrap it on
around
your
the pipe itself.
That's right. It's intrinsically safe. It's got all the check marks that we want, you know,
low
when
voltage,
you're applying it to it. Yep.
Low volt. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that was very, very popular whenever we first started. And we started to see people have had some really good luck, and there's less active parts. So we've seen recirculation really start to come back, and that's where you stick a probe in the furthest end away from the tank, so you can see the temperature of that DEF, and then once it gets below a set value, so if you don't want it to get below 50 degrees, you set that low limit in some tank monitor, and then it'll just kick on that motor whenever it starts to get below that temperature.
Okay.
So you'll refresh that colder product that's closer to the surface with fresh product that's been sitting down in the tank, which is probably closer to 65 degrees or so.
Okay. Yeah, plus water that's moving tends to freeze less than water that's sitting
right.
still. Same reason why you recirculate a pond, or if you keep a boat in the water, In cold weather, recycle the water around the boat, keeps the ice from freezing around the boat.
Absolutely.
With the OPW system, do I have to replace the pipe if there's ever a compromise of the heat trace, or can I just remove the heat trace and fish it through? How does that work?
There would be a couple ways that a contractor could choose to do it. Snaking it through and tying one end to the other and pulling it through is certainly one option.
Okay.
Also, the interior half of our boot is removable, and we have an access panel to give yourself the most access into that sump. So if you wanted to pull that out so you could check what maybe went wrong,
right.
Is there a burn mark? Is there, you know, you just want to visually see your pipe is okay. You can pull the whole thing out, rewrap it with fresh, and stick it right back down in the hole.
But the primary product pipe doesn't necessarily need to be replaced.
No, it's just simply removed.
Exactly. But that's what I've heard from some others.
And put back in. Replaced is probably, again, poor choice of words. But
I get it.
Pulled out and then put back in.
Okay, so that's, for me, that's the way I'd want to go. In the event, I'm looking at total cost of ownership, sustainability of the station, and if in the event there's a compromise, I want to get to it quickly in a timely fashion to make it right. And that seems like what you can do.
It's what we've been preaching with our underground system for years, Jonathan, is we want anything that we put in the ground, we want it to be able to be accessed, replaced, maintained, and repaired above grade without busting concrete. So now we can do this with DEF.
That's right. I rode that 90-pound jackhammer for a lot of years. If I can make sure nobody else has to, I'm going to do my best.
So again, hey, thanks for joining us. Dan, appreciate you stopping by and, you know, filling us in with your wisdom.
Always a pleasure.
You know, again, DEF has been a challenge, but now new from OPW, look for a complete engineered integrated system for all of your underground DEF supply needs.
Loop and otherwise.
So again, thanks for joining us on the Fueling Station. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and like. And again, I'm Ed Kammer with OPW.
And I'm Jonathan Stong with OPW.
Good friend Jonathan Stong. And we'll see you on the next podcast. The Podtrolium, guys.
Cheers, y'all.